right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink filmmakers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus. One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, find them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me where my suit is, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyway.
Sports movie?
Okay, we've got to put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us out of possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the King, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that this guy's a guy who reads comics and can't care for shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
You know, it's been a while since I've listened to the old intro. And the intro in general, to be quite honest with you.
Welcome to 2012. This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Jason Lee is so saucy in that intro.
He is saucy. You know, can I just say, that intro is so incredibly long.
Well, you know.
And now people are like, no, we want the new intro back.
It's coming.
It's coming.
It'll come back.
We got to do a little fixy-fixy.
We had the scapegoat issue that needed to be dealt with.
Listen, just like the WWE, every
we're
now and again,
scrubbing them.
You got to go back and scrub someone from the history.
Scrub them. Nobody was world champion from like 85 to 94 or whatever the heck he was.
We love you, scapegoat. So there it is.
Scrub them off.
Is he only the second person in WWE history to get the full scrub? Because I feel like Benoit
got the full scrub.
Got the full scrub.
Hogan might be the second person to get that. The only other person. I'm trying to think if there's they didn't scrub I can't remember his name now. Who ended up with Miss Elizabeth?
No. I
can't remember his name.
I think Benoit and now Hogan are the only two that got the full on Disney treatment.
Yeah.
The bringing the hoses and the scrub brushes. Stop the ride. So there it is.
We're gonna be closed for 15 minutes while we scrape that brain off the wall.
Be sitting on the haunted mansion. Facing backwards right before the graveyard scene.
The old Halloween into Christmas overnight transition.
That's it.
It never happened.
Yikes. Well, anyway.
Yes, hello.
We are here. This is episode 383 of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, and we're calling it...
Fantastic Fail.
Because it sure was.
We would have also accepted Fantastic Flop.
Yes.
I think Fantastic Flop is actually better.
I think either one works.
Fantastic Fucked.
There you go.
No one's fucked. No one's fucked by it except Fox, who deserves to be fucked by it. So,
well, the blame game is afoot.
Oh, yes, it is. Oh, it's brilliant. This is more entertaining than the movie. Fox is blaming Trank. Josh Trank. Trank is blaming Fox. You know, it's like
Trank's tweet was. I had a great version of this movie that the review that you guys would have loved. Too bad you'll never see it. I guess that's reality, though.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that was like the day after. That was Friday morning.
In response to that, there was a marvelous tweet by somebody I follow by the name of Choppa. They're at I Am Choppa, C-H-O-P-P-A-H. Very amusing person. But they nailed it saying, you know, when other directors made a bomb like 1941, they went to Hawaii and came back with Raiders of the Lost fucking Ark.
Absolutely.
Shut your fucking mouth, Josh Trank.
Yeah,
look. Period.
This has been the excuse game. Josh Trank has been whining about everything for months, ever since the first fan reaction to this film was negative right from the beginning. Yep. And he said, you guys got to trust me. And yeah, okay. Then he was fired from Star Wars. He said, I wasn't really fired. I left, which is a lie.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's just one thing on top of another. Now he slams his movie before it comes out. Not that it wasn't going to get slammed on its own.
His ego had some Viagra coming out of Chronicle.
Wow.
And he walked onto the set with his nerd boner and just bitch slapped everybody at Fox and the audience. That's what happened.
And the best part of this story is even though reviews were embargoed before the Friday opening.
It didn't matter.
They still slipped out. But Fox, also in their infinite wisdom, greenlit the sequel before the movie opened. Which I maintain is absolute utter hype to get people into the theater to see this movie. Yep. They're also, have you seen any of the TV spots with the one word? You know, you see word reviews and it's like fantastic. And it's like, you know, it's
four.
It's got ellipsis in front of it and quotes and then fantastic and then more ellipsis and quotes. And it's like that could be anything.
That could be
this
the
is
fantastic
the Fantastic
Four
movie stank. You know, like, it could be anything.
Before the film shit all over my day, I had a fantastic dish of pasta.
Yeah. Yeah, brilliant. This movie was brilliant in its failure. Like, it could be anything. It's the worst.
The movie was predicting, after the reviews started to roll in, they were like, well, it's clearly not going to do as good as we want.
Wasn't the target like 42?
Well, that was the projections. That was the projection after the review started.
Independently,
they were hoping for much more than that. Obviously, right. Ant-Man did 68 for God's sake.
Right.
So yeah, 42, 44. I read. No.
26.
It didn't even get to 26. It was 25.5. And after Monday and Tuesday's numbers, I think it's at almost 28 now. Domestic. Foreign is only 34, which is unheard
of. That's where it's most insane.
That's unheard of because foreign
normally, usually makes it up. Yeah. If you've got something that's on the fence, like Tron Legacy is a huge example of that, where foreign really made that make money.
Right. Historically, foreign is normally three, maybe four times what domestic is.
Right.
This is barely the same amount. I mean, we're talking about worldwide, as of right before the show, I checked Box Office Mojo, 62 million.
Did anyone look at Rotten Tomatoes recently?
It's at 7% now?
Last I heard it was 6%.
Oh, so. 9% was the last I had seen, and that was two nights ago.
Yeah, it dipped further down. The movie did worse than Elektra.
Yeah, it's horrendous.
Which is, it did, I don't know that it did worse than Punisher Warzone, which I think by all accounts is the worst Marvel theatrical release ever.
Really?
I'm pretty sure Marvel Warzone, I think, is the king.
This might top it. I don't know.
No, as far as making less money in opening weekend.
Oh, all right.
Which I think Elektra was number two. So this might be a solid number two. It's definitely a solid number.
Yes,
it's a solid and a loose number two. But I know it did worse than Elektra. I don't know if it did worse than Punisher Warzone though.
Okay. I was taking so much joy and elation. Like starting Thursday morning, my entire day was based on how bad this movie was doing. I was just watching the reviews roll in and the numbers roll in, and I was taking so much pleasure in it. I was tweeting about it, of course, like you do. And I was actually getting flack from people.
Uh-huh.
Like, come on, you're being too harsh. Now, this is also people who hadn't seen it.
Sure.
How are you shit-canning the movie before you even see it? Blah, blah, blah. And all of these people, I said the same thing to them. I said, I smelled this fart coming a year ago, and it stinks now that it's hit me in the face. I don't need to see it. And fuck all of you, because you know why? For years, we've been saying as fanboys and geek mudgeons and whatever other term you want to throw out there, we've been saying, you know what? If you really think this movie fucking sucks, don't be the guy that says, this movie fucking sucks, and then goes and see it. No. I didn't go and fucking see it, and I'm not going to see it because I know it's – I'm not going to support it. Maybe I'll see it on Netflix when it comes out of curiosity, morbid curiosity.
Right.
It's a fascinating story. One day. So it's like just for the sheer – this is something that I think the – just like Jodorowsky's Dune, there's bound to be a great story behind this thing somewhere down the line in either book form or in documentary form. So I'm fascinated by the film just on that angle alone. Just not fascinated enough to drop any slight penny in the direction of this fucking thing.
I just refuse to support it in any capacity.
This train wreck started right as soon as they started announcing casting. Everybody bailed on this movie then.
But in all fairness, I could have easily gotten past casting.
If it had been a great movie.
If it had been a great movie.
Absolutely. Sure.
That's something that you can adjust for.
Sure.
And look, it is just visual. You can argue it away, mixed relations and all that other things, and all the racist shit aside. But if it had been a good movie, all of that would have been moot.
Nobody would have cared. Nope. Right.
That was the least of their problems. And so let's quickly talk about the reviews. I don't know how many of the reviews you read online, but I've been reading as many as I can.
They are.
They're amazing.
Glorious.
But to sum it up, really
glorious
what it sounds
wordsmithing.
Like is you have 45 minutes of four characters staring at computer screens and building the teleporter.
Right.
You've got about 25 minutes on Planet Zero where they get their powers. Then the movie jumps forward a year in its timeline to now they have their powers and they're sort of working for the government. There's a lot of nonsense that takes place kind of showcasing their powers a little bit. And then a 10-minute finale against Doom.
Right.
Ben Grimm and Johnny Storm. From what I understand, and I've written this in multiple review nows, they exchange one line direct to each other.
Wait. But what?
One line. I've read it in three reviews now that it's one line that they exchange.
I'm not a huge Fantastic Four fan. I'm certainly not a guy who's read it. I've only really seen the films and read it here and there. It's not my thing. But aren't the two of them basically made of banter with each other? Like,
yeah. Because
that's their shtick.
Yep. Because Johnny Storm is constantly busting Ben Grimm's ass and balls, and Ben is supposed to be the rough and gruff kind of takes no shit guy,
right,
and is constantly just clobbering. See what I did there?
Yep.
It's clobbering time. Johnny Storm back. I mean, their entire relationship is based on banter.
That's fucked.
Yeah, it's just I mean, we're not going to spend a ton of time on it because I don't think any of us have actually seen it because we're not supporting it. And I'm going to stand by this opinion. I think we're doing the right thing by not supporting it.
Absolutely. I think that if I go to a good movie and when I get out of that movie, if I feel like seeing another movie and sneaking in and not paying for it, I might duck into Fantastic Four for as long as I can stomach it. But that would be it. And there's like five movies out that I want to see right now. So the chances of me choosing the Fantastic Four over those other four that I haven't seen. And by the way, if The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Doesn't look like an amazing movie to anybody, you are lost.
Oh, it looks spectacular.
It looks amazing.
Is that open this week?
Yeah. And it's Guy Ritchie.
I know.
Unbelievable. I can't wait.
Yeah. I think he's nailed a contemporary version of that pretty awesome.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness Henry Cavill will now have a role that everyone will enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
very quickly, what do you think the drop off is going to be from week 1 to week 2?
100%.
Well, clearly it's not.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, do you think it's going to stay close? Like, will they do another 20 something million, or do you think it's going to be $4 million?
No way. With Man from U.N.C.L.E. opening.
They've already done $3 million between Monday and today.
Between
so that, that would factor to this coming weekend's drop off then, because I would say I'd be shocked if they broke 10 mil.
Yeah, that's what weekend. I was going to say. I'd be shocked if they broke 10 for Monday through Sunday.
You have Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Right.
You have the Mission Impossible, which apparently is
still going strong.
Best
strong.
Mission Impossible movie ever.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
You have is it in Vacation open or it's opening?
Vacation opened weekly, from what I understand.
So and there's something else I think that's opening. So I mean, there's a lot of stuff.
It's just
going to
get buried. It's the reviews and the backlash has buried it already, and then all these additional releases are just going to bye bye.
Yep.
All right.
Good.
Let's move past Fantastic Four. Let's go to Episode 7.
Yeah.
No new footage at D23.
Which is amazing.
It's not amazing. It's J.J. Abrams. It doesn't shock me at all.
It shocks me because he said there'd be another trailer in the fall. And I understand that August is still the summer, but there's no other big opportunity. They're showing nothing at D20. Oh, no, they're showing something that's apparently...
Well, there was that international trailer that leaked.
That's true. It had one scene.
That had like one or two
one
shots.
One scene, yeah, in it. That was, and it was actually really great because you kind of saw the entirety of the First Order,
right,
which is really kind of cool.
And Kylo Ren standing, you see the back of him facing the Order, unmasked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's so obviously that's very interesting. They're not even I think what JJ said was is they're going to have something very compelling for fans at D23, but it will not be new footage and it won't be telling us everything it won't be, essentially. Mm. But then Entertainment Weekly puts out 11 photos. I think it's 11 photos.
Yeah,
exactly.
So.
And also a little bit of an interview with J.J. Abrams where he actually discusses Kylo Ren's character.
I'm going to read the things that he said about Kylo Ren very quickly. He says, the movie explains the origins of the mask and where it's from, but the design was meant to be a nod to the Vader mask, Abrams said. Ren is well aware of what's come before, and that's very much part of the story of the film. Later on, he goes to say, the lightsaber is something that he built himself.
Clearly.
And it is as dangerous and as fierce and as ragged as the character.
So I'm wondering if we're going to see little sparks fly off it and burn people.
Well, we saw the little sparks kind of kicking off in that first trailer. And then the last thing he says is he's a character who came to the name Kylo Ren, which is answers a lot of questions that people have had.
Right.
When he joined a group called the Knights of the Ren, he is not your prototypical mustache-twirling bad guy. He's a little bit more complex than that, and it was a great joy to work with Adam Driver on this role because he threw himself into it in a deep and remarkable way. Because
Adam Driver is insane.
Right.
So it's kind of great that he's playing an insane character.
So what do we speculate Ren's previous name is?
Well, the Solo. Jason Solo rumors are just reignited today.
And it's
does Jason Solo exist in this universe, though? Isn't he part of a non-canon book?
Well,
no. They're free to pull from those stories anybody that they want.
Right.
They're just going to I think fan service here would be to name him Jason Solo.
Right.
I also think that Rey is not Rey.
You think that Rey is Jaina?
I think she's Jaina.
But why would both of the twins be removed from Leia and Han? That's interesting.
That's the question.
Right?
That is the question.
You know, I can understand almost if Jason somehow was removed and they explain it, you know, he broke away. But why would both of them? That seems odd to me. It's a little too... And maybe this makes sense and maybe it doesn't, but it's a little too Luke and Leia for my comfort zone right now.
But that's exactly why they would do it. To you know, this movie is starting more and more to mirror, in many ways, episode 4.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Because now, based on what you've read about Kylo Ren, he is a lot like Luke Skywalker, just the bad version.
Sure.
So you could see that kind of... What, for whatever reason, they were divided, separated, and you know what? Maybe they weren't separated. Maybe as teenagers, one went one way, one went the other. Rey stopped using her name because her parents are famous people. I mean, there's any number of speculations. Sure. That's one right there.
There's galactic paparazzi would be all over him otherwise.
The galactic paparazzi.
No, but think about it. She could easily be taken as a hostage if Leia is in some kind of lead, and we know that she is in some kind of high up position within
she's the rebel daughter rebel daughter that wants nothing to do with mom and dad.
That might be it. Maybe she just wants a simple life or some shit.
The other rumor that I've been seeing swirling around, which to me this makes equally as much sense in a lot of regards, is that Kylo Ren actually was at one point Luke's protege. I don't know that I want to call him his Padawan, but his protege. And so that's why he knows what came before. He's kind of familiar with Vader because Luke obviously taught him a little bit about it.
Right.
And so then he turns to the dark side of the Force, joins up with these Knights of the Ren or whatever they are.
This new bit of information that we got from JJ today, I mean, again, we can all speculate about
what
it means.
It's all speculation.
I know. It's all speculation. But, I mean, you know, what also could have occurred here is he found out who his grandfather is.
Absolutely. Look,
and,
it's I think
twisted little mind. My grandfather was this close to running the entire galaxy. Well, he's a little fucked up.
Grandpa could choke a guy from like light years away.
That's a legit
that's
reason.
Cool.
He's Vader obsessed. What more reason to be Vader obsessed? But wow, my grandfather was the biggest dick in the galaxy.
Mm-hmm. I suspect that one of those two is the correct answer. I do. I think obviously there's the potential for something else, but right. I think one of those two, because both of them are so logical in everything that we know about both
right.
the previous universe, the new universe, J.J. Abrams' kind of style and his direction and what his intent for the film is. One of those two both makes sense, and they're really close.
And acceptably logical.
Exactly.
And anything outside of those possibilities runs the risk of being
a stretch.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But after Into Darkness, we all need to make sure that we're taking all of this with a big, giant grain of salt, because we also thought he was going a completely different direction in Star Trek Into Darkness, and he didn't.
Yeah,
he took the easy path.
You know what though? I kind of feel like maybe with Into Darkness he didn't have as much freedom as he does here.
Mm.
I think it's a little different. I do, honestly. And I didn't hate Into Darkness. I really didn't.
We got what? September.
It's not a long time.
5 months.
Yeah, 100-something days.
Oh my God! Do you know Force Friday is in like 3 weeks?
Yeah, it's September 3rd.
Fourth. It's Thursday into Friday.
Yeah, okay. I think it's the third into the fourth.
Just make sure you clear your
my calendar.
Your calendar.
So. All right. Let's. Do you have anything else? I mean, do you want to? The pictures were more pictures. I mean, there was more kind of Phasma.
You can see them.
Mm-hmm. You saw Domhnall Gleeson. You saw
Hooray Star Wars. I'm personally, and I know people lament this, but I'm glad there was no new footage.
BB-8 in a delicate's bag.
I'm so sick of seeing most of the movie and so many great bits that I would have loved to have been surprised on screen with in trailers and clips and all that. Just give me the movie when it's movie time.
I don't want any more. I don't even want a trailer.
I'm perfectly content with no more trailers.
If they're releasing another trailer,
I'll watch it and cry again. I'm sure.
No, don't do it. No, please. Well, all right,
but
fine.
I will not lose sleep if I don't see the trailer, is all I'm saying. All right, let's move forward.
I mean, they got to promote the film. It might not do very well if they don't make people aware that it's coming.
Yes, that's right. It won't beat Jurassic Park.
Or Fantastic
Four. It's already beaten Fantastic Four.
I think the trailer got more downloads than ticket sales for Fantastic Four.
If they put tickets for that movie on sale tomorrow, it would beat Fantastic Four.
All right. 2017. It is confirmed. December of 2017. Steven Spielberg's December 15th, 2017, by the way. Steven Spielberg's adaptation of Ready Player One is coming to theaters. I still say this is going to be the hardest movie ever to make.
It's a tough adaptation. And I think if anybody that can handle it, it's Steven Spielberg, definitely. But
it's, you know what it is for me? There's a couple of things that are really, going to be hard. The rights. I can't imagine the person who has to secure the rights to all those things.
I've been hearing a lot of rumor, and it's rumor. It's all unsubstantiated, but a lot of talk from different sources that many of the rights holders for the stuff that's pending have just said, you know what, carte blanche, have a ball. I can't wait to get it in the movie and get it recognized.
They would be smart too, because all of those nostalgia receptors are going to start firing, and people are going to start
and
looking
the,
into
And all they
that
need to do,
again.
Half of those people, if it's a game, re-release a nostalgia version of the game, boom, people will buy it like 99 cents a pop in the App Store, so on and so forth.
The other thing we need to remember is that there is another movie out that has a lot to do with old video games as well.
But two so radically different concepts.
Yeah. Pixels.
Oh, no.
A movie worse than FF.
No, but Pixels,
I don't think it'll
Pixels
it'll
is
carry.
Using nostalgia and a bad story. Ready Player One really...
Pixels didn't use nostalgia so much as they dropped
you.
Their drawers and dropped a deuce on top of it.
I understand.
And
what I'm saying is...
I think most of Pixels was Atari-related and Nintendo-related, wasn't it?
Yeah. Is Pac-Man Atari? Oh, yeah, I guess
it's Atari.
It
Okay. So I you still haven't read Ready Player One, so you don't understand.
I've read some pages.
And then the other thing about Ready Player One that's going to be really critical or crucial to me is there's a really, really, really big spoiler in how they cast the movie.
Yep.
And they have to figure out a way to not spoil it.
There's a key surprise, and if you've read the book, you know what we're talking about. That's going to be an interesting.
Is it that Stark gets
way
his head
to maintain
chopped off?
A reveal on that?
Because I legit had a. I have to go back and read a couple of passages. Oh shit! Moment when that reveal hit in the book. I was like, no. How did I? But did I miss
that? How did I not see that? Yeah.
How did I? Yeah. So
very
like,
slick.
Is it that the lead girl is actually a dude?
So it's crazy how they're going to
have
to work.
Wait, is it that they're all dead?
It takes place in a snow globe in an autistic kid's hand.
So there you go. All right.
Wait, the kid was autistic,
wait,
right?
Is it artistic?
And he was a watercolor painter.
Is it that they're just in their own place that is surrounded by lots of woods and people don't know that it's not the 1800s?
This isn't M. Night Shyamalan's Ready Player One. All right, let's move on. Christopher Guest, his next film is coming to Netflix. He returns to the mockumentary format.
Thank goodness.
With Mascot. It's called. So obviously, it's about a mascot competition. So already you could tell it's
going to be. Mascot.
It's about furries, basically.
Yeah, sort of.
I bet you that's going to be an element.
That's exactly where it's going to go. Knowing Christopher Guest, I promise you that's where it's going to go.
Netflix did release a single image of like a movie style poster. And it says, welcome to the all drama, intrigue, and occasional excitement of the 8th World Mascot Association Championships, where a group of unusual men and women with big heads and furry suits compete to win the prestigious gold Fluffy Award and be crowned the best mascot in the world.
Yep.
It's got all the makings of a Christopher Guest mockumentary. So for those of you who are not familiar with Christopher Guest, I don't know how you're not familiar with Christopher Guest, but Waiting for Guffman, Best in Show, A Mighty Wind.
Six-fingered man of Princess Bride fame if
Spinal
you really
Tap.
Need to reach.
Unfortunately, For Your Consideration, where he left the mockumentary.
Whoa, I liked For Your Consideration.
Oh, that was a steaming pile of doo-doo.
I never even saw that one.
I liked that one.
Oh, I did not. And it
was by far not his best one.
And
but
it wasn't a mockumentary either. It really was more of just a regular movie. He kind of left the mockumentary style aside for that.
Okay.
I think he produced, but I don't know. I think he wrote and co-produced The Family Tree, which was the HBO series with Chris O'Dowd, which I loved as well. That was great also.
I didn't make it through that one.
But yeah, I'm excited. I think Netflix is probably a good home for it.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. So, so kudos to that. I'm always excited to see more Christopher Guest stuff. All right, what else do we have this week?
That's not actually static, PK.
Gotcha.
We can talk about Westworld.
Oh, my goodness.
That's looking sharp.
Amazing.
So it looks like a pretty big deviation, though, from the original film, no?
Well, it's going to be a series.
I think not so much a deviation from concept, but certainly a deviation from style. I mean, you know, it's much more.
Well, refresh me on the concept of the original film.
The same basic idea. You have it's focused on artificial intelligence.
Think of a theme park.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. That's the part that I remember. It was kind of a theme park and AI, and then things went awry.
Right.
Right. I'm not getting the theme park.
I don't know that this will go the theme park route.
That's what I mean. That's the deviation.
This seems
that
like
I'm
it's an actual
about.
People. The folks involved and a part of the quote unquote experiment. It seems like they may almost like the village sort of situation. They believe that they are living in the Old West when in reality they're in a, you know,
that's
dome or a zone or something like that. I certainly don't get a Wild West City theme park sort of idea like the Yul Brynner film.
Oh my God, that would be awesome.
That would be.
Was Rutger Hauer in that also?
No, Yul Brynner.
Westworld? That was Yul Brynner.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought Rutger Hauer
predates Rutger.
Rutger Hauer's robot movie was Blade Runner.
So. Yes, I know that. I know that. All right. But the trailer looked pretty good.
It was actually the best part of the season finale of True Detective.
Season 2 of True Detective, not well received by the masses.
I have to get into that. We just finished season 1 of True Detective, which was outstanding.
It's time to stop then, Ken.
Well, I'm going to give it a shot because I have polarizing opinions from both sides. I have trustworthy sources that really enjoyed the second season for what it was, for LA Noir that it was. And it's definitely a stylistic change that's, you know, we're not meant to expect the same thing from season to season of True Detective.
So you see
I have some trustworthy folks that really love it too, so I'm going to check it out for their sake as well as the folks that say that sucks.
Do you see the picture I put up on? I think I put it up on our Facebook. It says True Detective season 3. It will be McConaughey and Woody Harrelson coming back to find out what the fuck happened in season 2.
Unbelievable. So Westworld, Netflix, very quickly, I wanted to mention this when we did Christopher Guest, but I forgot. I still have not watched it myself, but Sense8 was renewed.
Yes, very happy about that. And something I should have seen coming. If you've been watching Sense8, you know the significance of the date, August 8th, This isn't spoiling anything, but it's the birth date of the cluster that's involved in the show. So it made perfect sense. Like, here we are waiting the news for the arrival of the next season getting a renewal, and we're everybody's chomping the bit. When are we going to hear? When are we going to hear? Just shut up and be patient until August 8th when they made the announcement on Sense8's birthday.
Right.
So yeah, very excited about that. And if you're not watching the show, you have to check. You too, especially. Check the goddamn show out. I've been on you for weeks.
Yeah, I know. I just haven't had time.
Excellent. Excellent stuff. And I'm thrilled to see that they have another season to continue this story. I really want to see where it goes.
I have one more thing I want to hit in segment one. I think then we'll take a voicemail and go into a break. Are you gentlemen all right with that?
Okay.
Game plan?
It's your ship, sir.
Bill Murray was reportedly
this is now going to jack our conversation.
To go see Ghostbusters. There's some speculation as to who he's going to play. Obviously, it is not going to be Peter Venkman. It's going to be –
Why wouldn't it be?
Because it's a different universe. Everybody
it's an entirely
that.
Different world.
Is it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it?
Yeah, there's actually some rumor that there's a character. What did I read?
Or do they open a portal to an alternate universe?
I would not be upset if he was Peter Venkman. I'd be upset. Let me rephrase. I would be terribly upset if he was Peter Venkman because he put up such a stink about doing a Ghostbusters movie with Dan Aykroyd and Ernie Hudson and the late. What's his name? Egon. He put up such a stink about that, but
Harold Ramis.
Yeah, Harold Ramis. But he'll play Peter Venkman in a reboot movie. Like that would be
no. I'll tell you why.
Would be like fuck you,
Peter
Dan Aykroyd.
Venkman doesn't make sense in the context of this film because the film is supposed to be about. And everything we know about what we've seen and what Paul Feig has said about them having to recreate the packs.
Yeah.
And you know.
Right.
Building the Ecto-1 and all that stuff. Why would they have to recreate the PAX?
Right,
Venkman
right.
was around and the original PAX existed. Like, to me, this is a fresh start. I think he's just going to cameo and I think it's fan service.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I'm totally okay with that.
What do you think the character
I know it'll be a cameo, but it'd be a blast if he was the dick.
That's what I said.
If
he was the Templeton Peck.
If he was the Peck.
I've heard rumor that there's a character in the script that hasn't been cast yet that's some sort of scientist. And he's kind of like, he's kind of like a naysayer. I don't know that he's the big dick, but I think he'll play a dick in the film.
Nice. That's awesome.
You know what I mean? He'll play Bill Murray.
And I bet you anything.
Kristen Wiig is playing Petunia Schmankman, right?
That's it. Petunia Schmankman.
I bet you anything that I bet you at least part of the reason he's in that film is what's her name? Melissa McCarthy.
He's friendly with her, right?
They got on famously on that
other movie where he played the
Saint Vincent.
He played the neighbor or whatever.
Yeah. Apparently they got on really well. So I bet you that has.
And I think
to do
he's publicly gone on record as saying that she's very funny and she's very talented.
And Kristen Wiig. And he's really a fan. So.
I think he probably has a respect for the cast.
Sure.
And he knows that there's fan service involved. And look, Bill Murray is about fan service. I mean, if you've anything that he does, whether it be film or in his own terms.
He shows up to goddamn house parties. You're having barbecue?
To bartend.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's going to do it if they offer him a spot. So I think with that being said, though, unless you guys have something else to chime in on that.
Nope.
I think we're going to take a voicemail from longtime friend of the show, Scanner 51. And then we're going to roll into a break.
And if you'd like to hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, give us a call at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
You know, we get lots of calls every week, and we're using the best ones that come in every week. So, you know, add your call to the mix.
You may hear
yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And you may be as cool as Sea Monkey.
There you go.
Hey guys, it's Frank at SeaMonkey67 on Twitter. Just wanted to check in, see if you guys saw that any of those Gods and Monsters shorts that came out from DC, the one with Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman, where it's a completely alternate take on the characters. Haven't seen the movie yet, but the shorts were fantastic. Can't wait to see the movie. Anyway, just wanted to see if you guys wanted to talk about it this week. Sounds like something you might be into. All right. Take it easy.
I mean, Brendan Fraser and Ian McKellen were spectacular.
Yes. No. That was Monkey. No. Wait, what?
He's making a Gods and Monsters the film reference.
I know.
Did you see the Gods and Monsters animated shorts?
I have not.
Oh. So these are
these are ones.
Hence my smartassery.
These would drive Ken completely insane in the correct way.
Yeah, they were amazing. This was Bruce Timm's return to animated DC.
Yes.
And by the way, very quickly. Yeah, I know I said Scanner 51. His call's in segment two. That was my faux pas.
Sea Monkey.
Sea Monkey in segment one. So Gods and Monsters. It was Bruce Timm's return to classic DC animation. And it takes place – it's like an Elseworlds. So okay. It's Bruce Wayne is not Batman. It's – I forget who it is. It's
– I forget.
Yeah, I forget. But they're all not themselves, right? They're all different characters. But it's – it is violent.
Oh, yeah.
And it is visceral.
Mm-hmm.
And it is amazing.
That Batman short was
outstanding.
Amazing. And the Superman one, which I thought was going to be not good, was really
the
good.
The Superman one actually made my jaw drop.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to ruin it. But anyway,
where can we see these?
So the three shorts were released on YouTube via, I believe it was Machinima.
I think it's Machinima.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay.
And then the three shorts actually led up to a full DVD Blu-ray release, also called Gods and Monsters, which is out. It did come out a couple weeks ago.
Oh.
I have not had the opportunity to see it yet. But if it's anything like the shorts, then clearly it's going to be epic.
And yeah, I want to get those DC Blu-rays. Yeah.
And I think the Blu-ray has the shorts on it as a complete collection, so which makes sense, obviously.
Right.
So, if you have not checked out the shorts, go over to YouTube, look up DC's Gods and Monsters, go to the Machinima page.
Can we get a link maybe or something?
Yeah, I could throw a link on the show notes as well, but yeah, you could definitely check it out. That's where you're going to find them. But check them out. They're awesome. And I think with that, we are going to take our first break. We have a lovely word from our sponsor, and we'll be back in a few moments.
Build the Millennium Falcon. A one-to-one replica of the original Empire Strikes Back movie prop. Working lights and stunning interior detail. Complete with a moving ramp. Build the Millennium Falcon step by step with your comprehensive build guides, die-cast metal, and highly detailed resin parts. Call now or go online to buildmillenniumfalcon.com and get started today.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 383, and we're calling this one Fantastic
Flop.
Flop.
I think flop is what's been decided.
Of course, during the break there, you heard from our lovely sponsor, D'Agostini in Model Space, with the Build the Millennium Falcon.
Right.
You can check this out. Of course, you can go to that website, buildmillenniumfalcon.com.
That's just buildmillenniumfalcon.com.
That's correct. No the. Just no the. buildmillenniumfalcon.com.
Yes.
The link is on our page as well as the video. And you can also give them a call if you'd like at 877-544-6779.
Telling you, the best Star Wars collectible probably out there right now. Will I be able to say that in 3 weeks? I don't know. But I can tell you this. I mean, as far as your big scaled ships go, I've always wanted to have something like of that caliber and that size, and now I'm getting it.
Sure.
So this is your opportunity as well. And you're building the thing, so it's twice as fun.
Nice.
What you got there, PK?
Well, I think while he's playing with that, I think we have to take a voicemail.
Oh yeah, we got a voicemail.
Let's do that.
Geek Stuff Crew, Scanner 51 here from Twitter. This past weekend, I went to a Comic-Con over in Stockton, California. Up until Friday, never knew they had one. A friend contacted me. She had some press passes, had them to me. So a friend and I drove up there. It's about an hour from me, San Joaquin River Valley area. Nice little show. This is the smallest show I've been to so far. I've been to a few celebrations Wizard World, so it was kind of nice to go to a small show, more intimate and stuff.
Marshmallows
a lot of vendors there selling stuff for
burning
prices, so I didn't buy anything. Got some books signed from Chris Burnham, the Batman Eat guy, and Mike Norton, who did some of the Trinity series of books a few years back. It was a cool show. Like I said, small. The highlight for me was getting to speak to Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and that was cool. So he just talked to me as a person and stuff, and about 20 minutes talking to him, grew up watching him on TV, so that was awesome.
Again, tomorrow.
It's a little show. Probably go back next year. Have a great show. Bye.
So, yeah.
Hey, thanks, Scanner 51. That was a great review of, what was that, the Stockton Comic-Con, is that?
Mm-hmm, yeah, California.
It sounded like a charming event.
It does. I like those little shows.
I'd go there.
Mm-hmm. It's a little more intimate.
It sounds kind of like the Garden State Comic Fest.
It does sound like Garden State Comic Fest that we just went to.
A fun show, a little thing. He had a pass. It was nice.
Yeah, Hacksaw Jim Duggan was there.
I'm kind of jealous. I've never met Hacksaw.
Yep. I like Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
This is the worst fucking thing I've ever eaten in my life.
It's hot garbage.
It's actually a step up from Crave.
Only slightly.
Only slight. It's got round edges. That's what makes it different.
It won't come out as rough.
I can't stop eating it, though.
It's not even like...
It's made to make you eat it.
It's not even like Cheerios, though. Like not Cheerios, Lucky Charms. Like, the Odie part is not Odie. It's corny? I'm not sure what it is.
It's kind of corny. Let's look at the... well, we should say what we're talking about.
There's a weird sweetness that's almost like... There's like an Apple Jacks-y sort of...
Ooh, Apple Jacks!
...hint to it.
I kind of want Apple Jacks now.
Let's really say what we're talking about.
Sure, this is the limited edition Star Wars breakfast cereal.
That's
from
not
General
limited
Mills.
Enough because I fucking found it.
It's not limited at all.
Ugh.
I only got lightsaber and stormtrooper marshmallows. I'm going to say this, General Mills. You need to up your marshmallow game because you are a bunch of stingy motherfuckers.
Did they short pack the lights? Are the lightsabers rare?
I think they are.
Are they worth more?
I think they are. I think they're rare assholes. Lightsabers. They are rare indeed.
Jesus Christmas.
Let's talk about the ingredients. Whole grain corn.
That's the first ingredient.
Yeah.
Well, that's impressive.
Well, that's healthy, right?
Cornmeal.
Okay.
Followed by sugar. And then marshmallows, because that's what you get when you look up redundant in the dictionary. Also, corn syrup.
There you go.
Rice bran and or... That's my favorite thing ever on ingredients.
And or
canola oil.
I hear that the prize in this package is a scalpel so that you can remove your own toe for when the diabetes sets in.
The prize is diabetes. Salt. Now, right there is where we end things that sound like food. And we get into trisodium phosphate.
All right, we're not going to read the entire ingredient.
And then natural flavor.
Listen.
Comes after the chemical.
Natural's in quote, right? That's a...
Natural.
Scanner 51 left a lovely review last week. And then he called in this week, and we had to give it a try for ourselves.
What did he say in this last voicemail? I was too busy crunching this awfulness.
It was about that con, StocktonCon. It sounded like a lovely event. Mm. And I'm sorry if you cannot hear it over us munching, but I assure you it sounded lovely. So thank you to Scanner 51. Of course, if you'd like to call into the GVM line and have us eat over your voicemail, you can do so by giving us a shout.
Vile.
At 425-920-6050.
We promise we won't eat over your voicemail.
Well, we can't promise.
No,
well,
we should say also that we do want to hear about those little cons and shows and exciting geek things that you do.
This isn't to belittle that con or Scanner 51 calling in. It was just kind of funny.
It's just to belittle that cereal.
That's it. It was bashing. Listen, I don't have Gotham anymore. I need something new to hate. That cereal is
filling
the void.
Hey, don't worry. Gotham's coming back.
Yep, and I shan't be watching it. I quit before the end of season one.
Oh, I know.
So I'm not going back. I'm done.
I quit before they started that Joker storyline.
Let's talk. Yeah, he's going to play. Let's talk about the CW universe. Can we talk about the CW universe?
Sure.
So some promotional photo for Flash.
I feel dirty. Ugh, sorry.
It's actually making me sweat. I got the sugar sweats.
It's kind of making me miss nano dots.
Oh, I would love some nano dots right now.
It tastes like a version tech.
Gonna wash that flavor. Yeah. Anyway, so the CW released a promotional image with Jay Garrick and Barry Allen on it, and it mimics the Flash 123, that quintessential kind of crossing of worlds cover.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows the image, even if you're not a longtime Flash fan, you know that image if you've seen it. And it's great that they're going down that storyline. That show continues to be epic. Their treatment of the characters continues to be well handled. So I'm pretty excited for that. The big news in the Arrowverse this week. Well, actually, there's two, but let's focus about the actual Arrowverse first. Matt Ryan, as well as the rest of the cast, were let out of their contracts by NBC a few days ago.
Right.
Because Constantine was not reviewed and they were not able to find a new home for it. Now, if you remember last year during the Save Constantine campaign.
Reviewed or renewed?
Renewed.
Renewed. Okay. I got confused.
I'm sorry. So if you remember last year during the Save Constantine campaign, Matt Ryan had said, look, if we can't find a home, you know, I'd love to go to the CW. And Stephen Amell said, if you renew that show, I'll appear on that show as Arrow. I'm willing to, I'll bridge the gap for
right.
you. Mm-hmm. And obviously, unfortunately, it didn't happen. But we got word that Matt Ryan is reprising his role as John Constantine in at least one upcoming episode in season 4 of Arrow.
That's pretty fantastic.
That is amazing, because the entire theme of this season, which we've been saying for a while now, is kind of going to be supernatural. They're kind of going a slightly different – they kind of tackle different themes each season.
Right.
And so that's going to be the theme this season. So he slides in there perfectly.
And does John Constantine have interaction with Green Arrow in the books in any capacity, or is this an invention for the show?
When he was just a Vertigo character, no. But once he was brought into the main DC universe, he interacts with everybody right. in some capacity okay. because he has that ability to cross over with
and
them.
It doesn't right. even, and it doesn't even matter, because at the end of the day, it's a different universe.
Yeah, right.
Let them cross over.
And, right. And, right. And, you know, so the importance of this is that, sure, it's one episode that's been confirmed, right? But, you know, if it's successful, there's room for him to come back.
What it really means is Stephen Amell has chops.
Well, we'll get to that in a second. But also, there were some other significant characters that were introduced on Constantine that are now potentially open for use, I would think.
Correct.
Dr. Fate,
mm-hmm.
the Spectre. I mean, there's at least one or two other ones that
right.
I just can't think off the top of my head. So there's a lot of growth now, more growth in a universe that is already
big,
huge,
right.
And again, being handled very nicely. So kudos to that. I'm very excited to see that. Matt Ryan is John Constantine, and I'm happy to see him reprise that role.
Excellent.
Let's talk about Stephen Amell. So we haven't talked about this at all on the show.
Right.
I haven't really wanted to, only because I'm not really involved in the wrestling world anymore.
Right.
But for months now.
And we don't have the bad mother Canucker
right,
to tell us about it.
So for months now, there has been like this weird online feud going on between Stardust, who Dustin Rhodes, son of Dusty Rhodes, the late Dusty Rhodes.
Right. Brother to Gold Dust.
Right, has been feuding with Stephen Amell. On like social media, he's even called him out on WWE events before.
Wrestling feuding.
Yeah, wrestling feuding.
Gotcha.
So this past week at Raw, Stephen Amell is there. He's in the front row. There's a match going on. The match ends. Stardust runs out into the ring. He does some shenanigans. He leaves the ring and goes up to Stephen Amell, who's in the front row. They exchange words. He starts to walk away, turns around, and he sucker punches, you know. Sucker punches.
Right.
I'm doing the WWE quotes. Stephen Amell, and then turns to walk away. Now, I said this to Big Kev before the mics were on. Stephen Amell, for those of you who aren't familiar, he's a beast. Like in real life, he does a lot of those stunts on his own. His training regimen is intense. He's crazy.
Is right. He's a former MMA guy too, or no?
No, no. I think he just was cast as Arrow and was like,
I'm gonna own this.
I am gonna become that character.
Yeah, and cool.
Kudos to him. So
method.
So he Stardust leaves, goes to get into the ring. Stephen Amell, like an animal, leaps over the wall, leaps over the third turnbuckle
right.
into the ring, spears Stardust, punches him a bunch of times, gets removed by security, yada, yada, yada. The feud continues. And now they announce that Stephen Amell and Stardust are going to fight at SummerSlam in 2 weeks.
Will it be a backyard brawl?
So I don't. It doesn't matter.
Backlot brawl.
CW.
Can he do it in the Arrow costume? Would they dare allow that?
I absolutely guarantee that when he comes to the ring, he is not going to come to the ring in street clothes. He has to come into the ring in some variation of the Arrow costume. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to be green tights with some of the black highlights on
you
it.
You think so?
Absolutely.
They should put him into a soup to nuts perfect replica of a full blown comic book Arrow costume, including glue that fucking goatee on him. That's what they should do. And the Robin Hood hat.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That's what they need to do.
I absolutely think he's going to come to the ring in some wrestling variation of the Arrow costume.
Right.
It's too big to not take advantage of that. CW, you know, has to be loving this. Has to be loving it. The promotion is huge.
Oh, I'm and sure again, they're involved.
Stephen Amell, he's just got the chops.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a loyal fan base.
True.
And, you know, he does a lot of good things. Aside from the show, he is very active in charity and donation work. He's raised like thousands and thousands of dollars for multiple charities. He's got his wine company. The dude is involved. I'm a fanboy. I'm not going to lie.
And speaking of loyal fan bases and raising money.
Yes.
The Begathon.
Oh, yes.
Round two.
We didn't mention it in the first
segment. You know what? I feel a little bit bad because we got several more donations direct through the PayPal account.
Yeah, great.
And I wanted to give shout-outs to those people. And I only remember two of the five or six.
Well,
see how you are.
I'm going to shout out the two I remember.
Won't they get their prizes when we reach our stretch goals?
Yeah, hopefully. So thank you to Cousin Dave and iPad Carry, both on Twitter. Follow them. They're good listeners. They're fans of the show.
Yo, Cousin Dave had better chipped in a bunch.
And the rest of you who I did not mention, I apologize, but you'll get your plugs next week.
Yes.
And of course that the PayPal button does still exist, but more important than that, or not more important, but parallel to that.
Yes.
Are the auctions going on by the betrothed of West Coast Scott.
Yes.
Yes. And who bought Ken the dude figure?
He's still available, to get for you.
No, who's buying him for Ken?
I don't know, but whoever does.
If you had said PK, people might have understood you.
Yeah. Whoever does, you can send them to the Geek Stuff Studio.
Yes.
Hit up
the Megaphone, bid, and buy PK the dude figure.
The link is on our Facebook page.
Yes.
It's on my Instagram account. Uh-huh. It's on the Twitter feed. Right. It's on the website.
Yeah.
Auctions are still live. There's round two of the auctions are up.
Right. And there's more going to go up this week,
yep,
I think.
I apologize. There were supposed to be some more that went up last week, and I just didn't get to them. So there'll be some more that go up this week.
Yep.
And
we're just going to keep on. It's just going to keep on going, folks. So we want to make sure that we're bringing you some exciting products from the Big Kev's Geek Stuff Archive. By the way, I uncovered another trove of great items. Sir, some 3A items.
Nice.
Some really maybe
cool,
possibly really good stuff.
So
you definitely want to keep an eye on bkgeekstuff.com so you can get those links and get this stuff.
I have an idea. I have an idea that I want to run by you guys after the show.
But it
involves items.
Okay.
It involves the Begathon.
Uh-huh.
It involves Periscope. So we'll talk about it after the show. But look forward to new ways to get items to support this show.
Oh.
And in true fashion, we don't let the fact that the Begathon is running slow us down with our plans.
No.
I think that probably in another two, maybe 3 weeks, we'll be able to start announcing some of the New York Comic Con stuff.
Oh, yes.
That I think we have in the works.
Mm-hmm.
So exclusives and et cetera. So,
nice.
So there you go. So we're moving full steam ahead. Of course, all of your contributions are welcome and
needed and appreciated because that's what keeps this program going. That's what keeps it. You know, we have to keep up with the times.
Absolutely,
the technical times, and it's very important that we get the help that we need from you guys. And we are absolutely, it's a serious moment, folks. We are absolutely 100% grateful for any donations that we get. We once again, we should thank West Coast Scott for everything that he's doing on the West Coast portion of the Begathon. And, I'm really excited that we're getting such great response. I'm looking forward to more response. And I'm telling you, you got to keep an eye on these auctions because we have definitely uncovered some things in the archive that I think are going to be some pretty exciting.
Fantastic.
Things.
With that, I think we have some products we want to discuss, though. So why don't we roll into that?
To do.
Oh, actually, no. I'm sorry. Before we get to product, very quickly. The Hateful Eight trailer.
Oh,
wow. We all watch it. We have to talk about it.
Yes.
It looks awesome.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, one of the things – so I've seen it three times now.
Uh-huh.
Because I watched it two times the original time because I was convinced I had missed stuff. And then I watched it again with you guys. Tarantino, his ability to choose music – for everything that he does. The score, the music in that trailer is so
spot on.
Perfect for the tone of that trailer. And the movie looks awesome. He's tackling the Western genre. He hasn't done it yet. And
it's his Magnificent Seven, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's his eighth film. Did you get a Magnificent Seven vibe from it? I didn't.
Not,
do you know what I got?
I'm merely in that it's a multitude of strangers, one more than seven. On a mission, but there's no other nod that I could see from the trailer. Anyway.
I got like a bus stop vibe.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I get that.
Okay. That's kind of what I felt on it a little bit. Yeah, and of course, there's a whole cast of amazing performers in there. Kurt Russell back in a Western. Yep. Who doesn't love that?
Yep.
Same
old handlebar, just a little older.
Yeah. Michael Madsen.
Yep.
There was also Jennifer Jason Leigh was in there.
Tim Rothman is in there.
Tim Roth is in there.
Was Tim Roth in there?
Tim Roth is in there.
Who was Christoph Waltz looking character?
That was Christoph Waltz.
No,
Tim Roth. It's Tim Roth.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I look like Christoph Waltz.
No, it's positive. No.
It's Tim Roth.
Wait, how is Tarantino making a movie without Christoph Waltz?
He brought back Tim Roth.
They brought back Tim Roth.
Okay, there you go. Wow,
he's crazy. He's bringing him out of the dugout.
So who's the other dude? He doesn't have any lines or whatever, but the menacing looking dude that I only saw the trailer the one time, but there was a glimmer of he kind of looked like maybe Charlton Copley versus maybe kind of a little like Brian Cox in some shots. Who the fuck is that guy?
You know what? I'm going to look up the IMDb.
You hit the IMDb?
While my phone's Big Kev starts talking about that piece of lovely.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, so, you know, in accordance with the laws of this program, every single Batman Black and White statue issued by DC Collectibles, if we can, will be talked about on this program. And the latest one is Batgirl, based on the artwork created by Salon Ude Illustration Crépar, Cameron Stewart, and Babs Tarr. This is the new Batgirl, the new wide-eyed teen Batgirl. It is a fantastic sculpt by Irene Matar. It's about 7 1/4 inches high. It's going to fit in nicely with your Batman Black and White collection, and just another stellar piece.
I got to tell you, all of the controversy surrounding the character, you know, grinds my gears.
I wish they'd do a statue of that.
But I love the redesign on the character. I think Babs did a fantastic job with that redesign. And I think it's – look, I'm still confused how, you know – not Batman is in the Batman Black and White, but I give a little leeway to Batgirl.
And we should point out also, sir, numbering is back.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know that I had noticed on the last couple that we talked about that numbering.
I consider that really limited, but it's nice to see that.
It's not a question of whether it's limited or not. I think it's a question of, you know, numbering collectibles is an enhancement to the collectible.
Absolutely.
And we said that when they stopped numbering, we were like, hey, what the hell? Really impressive packaging, as always. It really is just – this is probably one of the most terrific series, I think, of any collectible ever.
It's definitely a very long-running series.
It is, man.
It's been going on for 9 years at least.
No, it's not 9. I don't think it's 9 years.
Well, it's been going on since the early days of this show.
I know that's true. I know it's been going on for quite a while. Yes,
so
I know that.
7 years?
True. I'd say at least 7, yeah. And I got them. I think I have all of them.
I think so, too. I think you missed some of the reissues.
No.
No, you even got those.
No, I didn't. Sir?
So going back to that Hateful Eight thing, the guy that looks, according to the headshots, the most like the guy I'm talking about is somebody I have no idea who that is. I think a Spanish actor named Damien Bichir.
Yeah, I don't know who it is either. But Damien Bichir? That's who I thought it might be, too.
He plays Bob, but that's, the closer resemblance. More importantly, fucking Lee Horsley's in this movie.
Yeah, I saw that.
Matt Houston is in the Hateful Eight.
Crazy insane.
Wow.
All right.
Crazy insane.
Hey, that looks pretty.
Yeah.
That is Mouse Guard.
Nice.
The art of Mouse Guard by the very talented, ever epic, always pleasant
friend of this program,
David Peterson.
David Peterson. So this is, as OG said, the art of Mouse Guard 2005 to 2015, the first 10 years. It is an oversized art book. And I'm telling you, it's from Archaea, obviously, or Archaea. Jesus, let it go. Who cares how I say it? It's not Magneto Magneto. It's Archaea Archaea. It's $60. This book is only $60, OG.
That's amazing.
It is.
For a big book like that?
A big, huge book. And it's full of full-color illustrations. I mean, it's a lot of things that David, and I think other people as well, have done. Maybe it is all David.
That's a serious print job on there too.
I know it's beautiful.
That's not cheap ass
stock
for $60.
Yeah, and that's nice. Over 360 pages.
That's
of Mouse Guard artwork, Mouse Guard layouts, covers, I mean, all manner of stuff, scripts. I mean, if you're a fan of Mouse Guard, you absolutely need to pick up this book. If you're not a fan of Mouse Guard, you should become a fan of Mouse Guard so that eventually you'll want to have this book.
Yep. I still want to play the role-playing game, to be honest. I haven't played, but I want to.
We have it.
I know. Yeah, we have it. Yeah, it's a matter of playing it. I don't play any games.
Don't worry.
We got to fix it.
We're working on it.
I have a pile of games I want to play.
I can't be the only one with a secret gaming clan.
Oh,
that what you call it now, PK?
The good old days.
The secret gaming clan.
All right. Before this degenerates any further, is that it? Product?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk. So, yeah, just to sum up, Batman Black and White, the new Batgirl, and the art of Mouse Guard 2005 to 2015.
Fantastic.
Really terrific.
Because I heard that music beckoning.
Yes.
Like about 45 seconds ago or so.
25 minutes ago.
It was telling us somewhere around the cereal.
Wow.
That it was like, oh, you getting cereal? I'm going to play now.
Time to eat.
Don't forget, rhymes
with eat.
You can find us online at bkgeekstuff.com. Of course, facebook.com/bkgeekstuff. Links to the Begathon are there, the photo gallery, all of that good stuff exists.
And, of course, the most important link to the Begathon is you.
That's right.
Cheesy old thing to say. Hey, now,
people are not going to donate now.
The real most important link is the PayPal button, which is at BK Geek Stuff.
That's it.
So you can directly donate.
And
right
if for
there.
Some reason you're using iOS and it doesn't work, for some reason people with iOS, some people are having problems with it, just send it through PayPal, bigkevsgeekstuff@gmail.com. Just send it direct. That works too.
People with iOS having problems?
Yeah, some people are. I don't know why.
Weird.
You can find us on the Twitter.
I would
At BK Geekstuff.
Yes, sir.
At
K.R. Marlowe.
And at GeekstuffOG. I am on Instagram at GeekstuffOG. I think that's it.
I don't think you should eat any more of that, PK.
I want to thank you for not making me do this alone, by the way.
No, we wouldn't. I mean,
I'm doing it alone now.
We walk together. This is a team.
I think we all try
the nano dots.
I think what OG and I figured was a handful for him and I isn't going to kill us. So, you know, so we're all right.
Listen,
we're safe.
We need PK. We can't kill him yet.
I'm just saying.
If there's a new third mic next week, look out. I have perished at the hands of a marshmallow saber.
We were sad to hear that PK apparently died from some sort of sugar disease.
Listen, I think it's time, before this derails any further, before any of us loses a toe, it's time to end this episode.
Who knew PK was allergic to corn in the 7 or 8 different ways it's actually in that cereal?
And with that, Big Kev.
Yes, OG, we will bring this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to a close. The way we end some episodes by saying, troll the respawn, Jeremy.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever, ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea. Roads go ever, ever on, under cloud and under star, yet feet that wandering have gone will turn.